Today on Real Radio.
If we live what we say, our neighbors and our relatives will beat our door down to find out about this hope we have in Jesus. Do you know today, if you died, would you go to heaven? The Bible says these things were written that you might know you have eternal life. Do you know that? How can we ever tell people and excite them about heaven if we don't know ourselves?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. What we often call the Gospel of Luke differs from the other accounts of the life of the Messiah in a number of ways, which we have already explored so far. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in Luke chapter 1 in a presentation simply called God at Work.
The celebration of Christmas was introduced later on in church history, but it was to acknowledge the birth of God's Messiah into the world. I understand all that, but I am not about to localize it to one day of the week or one day of the year. The truth of the matter is, the world doesn't want it to be recognized at all, so they're trying to remove Jesus out of Christmas. Happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Interesting, huh? Well, here's the announcement given in the Bible about the Messiah coming into the world, and it is wonderful. It is glorious. And so the Bible says, look at verse 35, and the angel announced to her and said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the power of the highest will come upon you or ensconce you, wrap you up. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Church, I'm going to give you a little bit about this word, and on we go. It's kind of both hard to explain, but I think you can see it better in your imagination. The word that Mary was to be experiencing the overcoming or the overshadowing is the actual word of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? She's going to conceive Jesus, but it's not going to be by normal human means whatsoever. It is experienced in Mary's life by the presence of God, the very visitation of God, the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? The word used here tells us how. When she's overshadowed, it's a word used. Now, I hope you get this. It's precious. It's very, very provocative, in my opinion. It's very beautiful. It's the same word used that when the high priest would go in before the Holy of Holies, and remember the Ark of the Covenant would be there? And to remember, he would offer up the sacrificial blood once a year for the sins of the nation. And the blood would be presented upon the mercy seat. And the glory, the Shekinah glory of God would appear above the two cherubim, the angels. And the glory of God emanated. And in that sense, watch, I know it's hard to say. Instead of the mercy seat being covered in shadows, that's not possible because God is light. The mercy seat was covered in light because God is light. Are you with me? So we see Mary being visited by, or shall be visited by, the Holy Spirit. And when he, the Holy Spirit, overshadows her, the presence of God will come into the vicinity where Mary is at. A house, a kitchen, a room, we don't know. When it happens, the glory of God, the light of the Lord, will cover her. And she will be touched by the divine hand of God. And without human means, she will be pregnant. It is truly, truly a miracle. And watch what happens. How does this transpire? It says here that verse 35, the Holy One that was born to you shall be called the Son of God. Look with me, verse 36. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, the angel speaks, has also conceived a son in her old age. We got that last time. And this is now the sixth month of her who is called barren. Or in other words, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. You're going to be pregnant soon. And so she got a 6-month head start on you. She's pregnant also by miraculous means. Who was once barren, now she's pregnant. Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they got a baby cooking there. She's 6 months along. And Mary, your visitation will be altogether different. It'll be divine. But watch this. She says, he says in verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary says in verse 38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Is that not sweet? Is she not amazing? This young girl, her faith. And the angel departed from her. You see, Jack, but didn't she doubt when she said a moment ago? Wasn't she like Zechariah in our earlier study? Not at all. She's not doubting that God could do it. She is doubting her qualifications as being the one. Who am I? Isn't that how you and I feel as well? Who am I that God would use me? Well, listen, my friend, God wants to do a work in our lives. And in verses 39 to 58, he wants to do so by touching us, by touching our lives in most powerful ways. And listen, God is a God of all caring, and he does so down to the very core of our lives as he touches us. Look at verses 39 to 45. "Now Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah." She's headed south toward Jerusalem. By the way, that's about 100 miles. "And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." She enters Zechariah's house. Watch this. She says hi to Elizabeth. Watch what happens. "And it happened," verse 41, "when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb." Church, will you take out your pen and circle the word leaped or leapt? This is fun. "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." I got to stop there. This is too cool. Elizabeth's there. Mary comes. Mary comes in the door and she says, "Hi, Elizabeth." Whatever she says, "Shalom. Heard you're pregnant. What's cooking?" The moment Elizabeth hears Mary's words, watch, does Elizabeth leap for joy? No. Who leaps for joy? John the Baptist inside of her. You say, "Well, wait a minute. It's only a piece of tissue." Not according to God, not according to the Bible. In fact, I don't want to get too goofy on you, but if there was ever a holy of holies on earth today, it's a woman's womb. It's in that realm where God is at work. I can almost see, and I mean this with all reverence, the Holy Spirit rolling up his sleeves regarding conception and the assemblage of a person in the belly, in the tummy, in the womb of a woman. That is absolutely miraculous, and so does the Bible say so. The Bible says that when God is plugging those parts together, that we are declared by David to be fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that amazing? God's at work. And he touches our lives to the deepest core. The word leap or leapt, are you ready for this? Go search it out if you don't believe it. It doesn't mean that John moved. It doesn't mean that John kicked. It doesn't mean that John did any other movement except this. The word means to jump or to spring upward. Not sideways, not down. It doesn't mean right or left. The word means that John the Baptist, when somehow he heard, somehow the Holy Spirit prompted, when Mary gave her announcement, John the Baptist leapt upward inside Elizabeth's womb. Now, I don't know about you, but God is down to the nth detail, and he cares so very much that, you know, the Holy Spirit's the author of the Bible. If it wasn't significant, he would have used a different word. Something's going on, and it is a very wonderful thing. And so John somehow responds to this announcement, and it says that she's filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42, "Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" This is Elizabeth speaking. "But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be the fulfillment of those things which were spoken unto her." Church, I'll say this and I'll move on. The baby leapt for joy. What did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus coming and preaching? He says, "It is my joy that the bridegroom has now come, for the friend of the bridegroom rejoices." John began rejoicing in that moment, and he rejoiced all his life through, and he rejoiced to the end. It was John's job to go before the coming of the Lord, and he rejoiced over that truth. What a wonderful thing that is. And look at verses 46 to 55. We see God at work, and he touches our lives in the most inner being of who we are. Mary says in her beautiful song, one of the most famous songs ever written. That's right. It's not the Beatles. It's not the Stones. It's Mary. One of the most beautiful song, if not the most beautiful song ever written. She began to speak forth, and again, the word is loudly. She began to say, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul exalts God," says Mary. Verse 47, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Listen to her song. "Oh God, I exalt you. Oh God, you are my Savior." She goes on. Verse 48, "For he has regarded the lowly estate," or the humble estate, "of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed," or the word is favored, "graced by God." Verse 49, "He who is mighty has done great things for me. He who is holy." And look at verse 50. "And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Verse 51. "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty with their thrones, and he has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty." Verse 54. "Has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." Verse 55. "As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Listen to her words. She absolutely gives us an Old Testament Bible study in a flash, just like that. And she's honoring God. Praise and glory go to God alone. And she cries out that she is totally committed to glorifying God. Why? Because he is God, my Savior. This is one precious young lady. And she gives God all the glory. She's touched her innermost being. And she responds with one of the most beautiful things ever said. You know, you got to take this to heart. When the scripture says she's favored, Elizabeth makes mention of it, the angel makes mention of it, Mary understands it. You guys, it's the same exact word that's used for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Same word. In fact, it is such a powerful word, and it's such a, listen, holy common word among God's people, that John, not John the Baptist, but John, the author of the book of John, wrote in John 13:23, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' chest one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." He was speaking of himself, John was. And that's exactly the word that's used here. The whole implication is this. John, the apostle John, believed, as he rested his ears, his head upon Jesus' chest at that Passover meal, John believed and felt and discerned that Jesus liked him most. He says, "I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved." Mary is saying, "Out of all the handmaidens of all of Israel, I'm the one the Lord loves the most." That very exact word is used about you in your life. I am the Nancy, I am the Bob, I am the Karen, I am the Ken, whom God loves the most. Isn't that awesome? What does that do to you today? I am the Jack that God loves the most. And if there's another Jack in here, sorry. But then you'll come back at me and say, "Well, wait a minute, my name is Jack, and I think God loves me the most." Did you know that's the meaning of the entire word? That's why he's a personal Savior. That's why he is your great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If, my friend, you don't have him personally, you ain't got him at all. And if you have him, you know what it's like to be favored by him. You see, when Mary said, I magnify the Lord, I glorify God, my Savior, should that not be all of our singing and song? Every one of us who are Christians today should say, I magnify the Lord in my life. Come on, Christian, let's start doing it. Let's just do it. The world is starving to see a real representation of what a Christian ought to be. My soul does magnify the Lord, and she rejoices, and I rejoice in the Lord of my salvation, the Lord of our salvation. And so look, verses 56 to 58, this is what happens. When God's at work and he touches our lives, my friend, he does so with the most wonderful results. And Mary remained with Elizabeth for about 3 months. Hey, wait, put the math together. Dr. Luke is really good. 6 months? How long did Mary stay? 9 months? Total. I mean, not 9 months. 3 months? 6 months? She was pregnant. 3 months she went and stayed. That's 9 months total. Watch this. I mean, Elizabeth is out there. I mean, there's towels getting boiled on the campfire right now. And so she remains and returned to her house. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came to her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. This is John the Baptist. Verse 58. And I love it. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. You know what that means? Can you, church, watch this. Here's old Elizabeth, who's now pregnant, past the flowering age. She tells her neighbors, I'm going to have a baby, Elizabeth. Too much matzah for you, dear. No, I'm going to have a baby. She's out there. She's growing. Her friends are going, oy vey. This is amazing. Wow. Now she's going to have a baby. And now the baby's brought forth. Elizabeth has a baby. John is his name. We'll hear more about that next time. And the wonderful announcement, her neighbors and her relatives, they come and rejoice with her. Why? Because she had told them what God was going to do. God did it. Her neighbors believed. That's what the word means. They rejoiced with her. They didn't say, that's good for you, Elizabeth. Very good for you. That's great. 90 some odd years old, changing diapers. Good for you. That's not what they meant. That's not what they meant. They rejoiced with her because they believed the message that she gave them. They believed, so they rejoiced. Who did? Neighbors and relatives. Why? She told them what was going to happen. They saw what happened, and they had to believe also. Church, tell people what great things God has done in your life. Well, God's not doing great things in my life. Stop and open your eyes. Start appreciating what God has done. And then get up and listen. Present yourself usable to God. Church, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. It's too bad. You want to see God really move? Watch this. I want to see God move in my life. Do you really? I ask you sarcastically but accurately. Do you really? Oh, yes, Pastor. I want to see God move. I want to see the power of God. Do you really? Do you know how often I hear that as a pastor? Pastor, oh, God's calling me to be in a ministry. Well, oh, great. Where are you serving now? Oh, I'm not. I just thought you'd, you know, ordain me and send me on my way. You're playing games with God. Oh, I believe that God's going to use me. Well, what are you doing now for God? Because if you're faithful in little, he'll make you faithful in more. You might have this grandioso, megalomaniac view of your distant future. But what are you doing now? And we quickly say, oh, I'm a Christian. But our neighbors are not coming to Christ, and our relatives won't listen to a word we say because you know what? They see our lives and they hear what we say. And there's a huge problem. We're disconnected. We're hypocrites. And God says, I have no time for this anymore. I know this is hard. But didn't Jesus say in John chapter 4, verse 24, that the Father is spirit and he is looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth? We need to stop talking about Christianity and live it. And that's how Elizabeth's neighbors and relatives got saved. Do you really believe in a hell? If you and I really believed in a literal hell, we would crawl across this nation on glass to rescue one of our nephews or nieces or uncles or aunts or moms or dads or sons or daughters if we really believed it. And I take that story from history. You can close your Bible, we're done. England had a man, a notorious murderer, rapist, thief, by the name of Charlie P. P-E-A. And Charlie P. was found, he was arrested and tried and found guilty. And Charlie P. was sentenced to death, hanging by the gallows in England. And every day, England used to do this, you know, they did this for a couple hundred years. Every day, England would send a pastor into the cell of the condemned prisoners to death, and the gospel would be given. And at the end, listen, at the end of 2 weeks, that minister then asked the prisoner, "Do you choose now to recant on Christ or to receive Christ as your Savior?" In other words, you want to be born again or do you want to reject Christ? 2 weeks, hear the gospel every day. Watch this. At the end of 2 weeks, the guy, the pastor comes in and he's reading and he says in a very monotone way, so after hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ for these last 2 weeks, do you want to accept Christ or reject Christ? "Well, Mr. P, what do you want?" And he said, Charlie P said, "Well, you know what? You've come in here for 2 weeks. And I've listened to everything you had to say." And he said, "What you, by the way you've told me, by the way you've said this, I know that what you say is not true." And I was startled. "Well, how's that?" "Because you came in here and you talked about this great news, this gospel, this Jesus who died, and if I could have forgiveness of sin, even from murder, of which I will now hang, and you said this stuff without even one bit of emotion or passion in your life, Pastor. You just read it as monotone as someone would read a list of names. And apparently it means nothing to you, which communicates to me that it cannot be true. And this Christ that you speak about must not exist. Because listen, Charlie P. said, if it were true what you say, then I would crawl across England upon my naked knees upon broken glass to bring one person to Christ if this message were true. And you scarcely have said it at all with one bit of passion." Charlie P. died at the gallows. What is said and what is lived. If we live what we say, our neighbors and our relatives will beat our door down to find out about this hope we have in Jesus. Do you know today if you died, would you go to heaven? The Bible says you're supposed to know that. The Bible says these things were written that you might know you have eternal life. Do you know that? How can we ever tell people and excite them about heaven if we don't know ourselves? Do you know it? God's children know it. The Holy Spirit leaps within us this truth. If you do not know that today, if you are not sure of that today, you need to make sure today. And you need to make sure now. Will you agree with Mary and say, "Oh God, my Savior"? Will you do that right now? If you haven't, He's your personal Savior. He's the only one you have. He's the only one you need.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called God at Work, a study taken from Luke chapter 1, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's topical series called Life and the Bible. Man, if you heard any of it, you can well imagine that we've had quite the response. Well, you can still visit us at realradioactive.org and get your copy on CD or DVD. Again, it's called the Life and the Bible series. And you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.